So, you know, just about everyone knows now that both Diana and I are going to be passing the baton and stepping down from leading Kol Mashiach at the end of September. So it's sort of out there and everyone knows about it. But people have asked me, and I know have asked both me and Diana, and they've just say, so what next? What are you, now I did mention that we're going to be doing some kind of ministry and we're still going to be here at Kol Mashiach. You know, we'll be just part of the membership here, but we're going to, you know, we're going to be doing some kind of ministry. So people say, well, what next? Do you really have any plans? What other plans do you have? And, you know, people have been asking this, and we understand this because, you know, they're curious to find out what's going to be happening in the next step. So this morning, I want to talk about the prophet Jeremiah, because Jeremiah sort of sums it up when he speaks these words that God gave him to speak. And let's open with Jeremiah 29 this morning. It's verses 11, 12, and 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts No, I just heard some. Is anyone? Did I read something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Okay, I heard. I thought maybe. Okay. All right, so we'll start. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I open with this morning because I think this sort of sums things up. The first verse is often paraphrased as God saying, I know the plans I have made for you. It's nice to know, and it's a real blessing. It should be a blessing for all of us to know that he has plans for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're a guy, if you're a girl, if you're educated or you're not educated, if you're married, if you're singled, if you're divorced, if you're Jewish or if you're not Jewish, if you're employed or you're retired, it doesn't matter because God has some plans for each and every one of us, each and every one of you. And how do we know? Because he says it. I'm using this as an example, but he does say it throughout the scriptures every once in a while. He has plans for each of us. And how do we know what they are? Because in verse 12 and 13, when you pray, when you listen, when you seek, when you search, then we will know what the plans are. But it's important that we do these things, to pray and seek and listen and to search and be attentive to what the Lord is doing. And he'll let you know what the plan has for you. And I want to tell people, he has a plan for each and every one of us. And I'm not just talking about the plan that we're going to make it into his kingdom. I'm talking about the plans that he has for us here while we're here in this wilderness experience. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And I went through that whole list of different people. And so it doesn't matter if it's you doing just a little bit here and there or you're doing a lot of stuff. He has a plan for you. He wants you. He wants all of us to work for him and his kingdom. But we have to stop for a minute and ask, do we include him in our plans? See, he has a plan for us, but do we have a plan for him in our lives? We have to look at that because he makes plans for us and we make plans of our own. And it's okay to make plans of your own. I'm not saying we don't want to make any plans in our life. We only want to do things for the kingdom. We do have plans in our lives. We do things. We do things on our own. We have hobbies. We do things for our loved ones. We do things with our children. We do things with family. We do things with friends. We have plans. So we have plans of our own, but we must remember to include God within our plans and not just have only plans of our own and sort of make God a side thing here that we only every once in a while deal with, or maybe only when we come to services. Oh, that's when everything, we step everything up, and now we're bringing God into our plan. This is the day we pray, and this is the day we worship the Lord, and we don't do any of this stuff the rest of the 6 days. It's not that way. And so if we were to discuss together all of the plans that he has for each and every one of us, we would probably be discussing forever and ever and ever. That's how many plans he has for all of us. He has so many plans in store for each and every one of us. They may be small, they may be large, but he has plans for us. Not just one plan. But knowing as we go on day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, he will change his plans a little bit here and there, but he wants these plans to include him and the kingdom. And so let's look at Psalm 40, just the one verse, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your work, your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's how many plans he has for us. We could not even number them. And I don't want to scare people because, oh my God, he's got all these plans for me. I don't know if I could fit it into my schedule. But he has plans for us. Like I said, they may be a little bit here. Maybe today he wants you to do something just for 1 or 2 minutes. Maybe next week he wants you to do something that's going to take an entire day. Yes, he may have plans for you that he wants to dedicate your life to him for long periods of time. But what I'm saying is there are all these plans, big and small, so they are literally without number for each of us, if you can imagine that. However, no one will appreciate it if my message goes on for eternity, listing all of the plans that he has for us, and I would probably miss a lot of them out. So just for time's sake, and for the sake of you not being crazy, having to listen to me for hours upon end here, I want to just mention just a few this morning, just to give you an idea. So first of all, God has plans to prosper us. To prosper us. And I'm going to read, this is Jeremiah 29:11 again, but I want to read it from the NIV, New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So this is the NIV, and they translate it as plans to prosper you as opposed to giving you peace. And here's why. Because in the NIV, they translate machshavot shalom as plans to prosper, where in our New King James, it was plans of peace. The Hebrew translates directly as thoughts of peace. And here's why. Because to prosper doesn't necessarily mean more money. I don't know if It might be a downer for you this morning to hear that, but it doesn't necessarily mean more money. It could mean some more money for you, but it doesn't necessarily mean more money. So don't run out to get your lottery tickets right after the, you know, God's going to prosper me with some money here, and let's get a couple of lottery tickets. It doesn't mean that. But here's the thing. But shalom in its fullness, we know, obviously shalom is peace, but it also means completeness. And so if we extend that out, it means to grow to completeness, to become complete. It means to flourish to completeness, to flourish and grow, to excel, to live well and to do well. These are all the thoughts when we think of that word shalom in its completeness. And so that's why the NIV, they translate it in that way. So God wants us to have shalom in our lives, and yes, he wants us to have peace, a peace in our hearts and in our lives, but it means so much more than that. So God wants us to prosper as long as we understand in the context what it really is. God wants us to prosper in many ways. Having joy of the Lord is a good way to prosper, to be complete, to have joy of the Lord in your daily life, no matter what situation is there, no matter what kind of problems you have, if they're physical problems, situations around you, we need to really cleave to this understanding that we have the joy of the Lord in our lives. It is there. It's there for the taking. We can choose not to grab onto it. We can choose to complain and be grumpy and to be nasty and not have it. We can choose. But that joy of the Lord is there, and he wants us to prosper, and this is a good way for us to start that process, that completeness, that peace in our lives that God wants us to have. Because first of all, I said, he wants us to prosper. The second thing that I wanted to say is God has plans to love us in spite of us. That's a big one. And that's a real good one. And that alone should bring joy to your heart. Because in spite of us, he loves us. In spite of our failures, he loves us. In spite of our shortcomings, he loves us. In spite of our faults and in spite of our weaknesses, he loves us. And he has a plan to love us. And part of his plan is to love us each and every day. And I don't want people to get the idea that we should just be slackers. It doesn't matter what I do because God's going to love me anyway. It doesn't matter. I could do whatever I want in my life because God's going to love me. That's not an excuse to do that. But we should appreciate that love and then try to get things right in our lives because God loves us, not to use that as an excuse. And so Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me in far away, not actually old times, but in far away, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. It's an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, it says, he draws us. Why does he do that? Because God is love. And when I say that, you know, there are people out there that are into all the Eastern religions and all of the New Age stuff that is actually Old Age stuff, and now it's New Age. It was New Age stuff 50 years ago. They still call it New Age today. It was New Age stuff 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and they still call it New Age. But the thing is, in the New Age world, they love to say that. God is love. But what they're doing is, they're not looking at God. They're Xing God out and saying, it's all about love. It's not about God. It's about love. It's about our love. It's about if we love everyone. See, then we can be like God. So they take God out of the picture. But the reality is, God is love. He's there. He's real. He's in the picture. And God is love. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. See, so I'm not saying it. Yochanan is saying it in the first letter we have recorded. God is love. Look at the word love, 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 love. It's all through God, because it's all about God. But because it's all about God, it is all about love, because God is love. So let's not look at it the other way. It's all about love and just leave God out of the picture here. God is love. So God's plan for us is to love us. No matter what, he loves us. It's not an excuse, but it's a reality that he loves us. And then the third thing that I'm using this morning, I'm only giving actually three things here, but God has plans to be with us. That's part of his plan. It is always part of his plan. God's plan is to never leave us. God's plan is to see us through trials and tribulations. And so we know, even on a physical level, God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve because he wanted to physically be with us. And we know that when he came in the flesh, he walked among us for a time. But God wants to be with us each and every day. Maybe not in that physical way that we see him here in the flesh, or like in the garden or with Yeshua, but God wants to be with us every day. He wants to commune with us. He wants to be friends with us. He wants us to love him. He wants us to relate to him, and he wants to be able to relate to us. God wants to be with us each and every day. That's part of his plan for us. I will never leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And then go into the New Testament, Ber Hadashah, from John, Yochanan, 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that is a great thing that we should be not just glad about it or happy about it, we should really be thrilled about it. God wants to be with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's not just some God up in the heavens, and only at special times can we maybe even pray to him or even think about he's going to do something with us. He is with us each and every day, and especially if you have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, within you. You've got God within you. It doesn't mean you're God. God, the God, God, big G, God, is part of him is within us. That is a great part of his plan for us. Now, what plans should we have with the Lord in our life? I said it's a two-way street here. There are plans. Plans are a two-way street. God has plans for us, but we need to include him in our plans. So, what do we do? These are things that we list all throughout the year, but just to sort of reiterate, and it's true, we need to praise him more. We need to pray more than we should be praying. And I say that because I know a lot of people, maybe they pray maybe once a week. It doesn't need to be hours and hours and hours, but boy, a good place to start is just a little bit of prayer, at least every day. And maybe some of you will feel better about it. You don't have to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to pray. You know, listen, I mean, this is the way I look at it. 10 o'clock in the morning is just as good a time to pray to God as 5 o'clock in the morning. He hears you at 10. He even hears you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He does. He hears you. So just get some prayer time in there, some praising time. Get some music on and sing along with the music and praise the Lord. Acknowledge him more than you acknowledge him now. Maybe talk to other people about the Lord. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all ways and he will set your path straight. Get more personal with him. You know, he knows everything about you, but he would like to hear it from your lips and from your heart, that you want him to really know what's going on in your life. Like I said, he already knows it, but speak it out or get it out of your heart. He wants to do these things with you. And let him know the things that you like to do. Let him know the joys that you have in this world that he created. Let him know about these things. Let him really be a part of your life. And when I said earlier, you know, we have plans to do, here's the thing, we all have shifting plans. You know, from day to day, you don't know what's going to necessarily happen with family or situations around you or things like that. We all have shifting plans. And we all go through phases of life. We all do that. You know, if you're 15 or 16 years old, you're going to go into another phase very soon. If you're 20 years old, you're going to go into another phase. If you're 40 years old, you're going to go into another phase of life pretty soon. So we have all these shifting phases in our lives. People graduate school. Young kids, they graduate from elementary school to middle school, or you graduate to high school, or high school students, they graduate to college, or college, you may go on to get master's with everything, or after college, you graduate into life. And you know, so there are all these things that we do, and we have all these plans that we need to change things because of that. We change jobs. Sometimes we think we'll be at a job forever and ever, and you find out a company is downsizing, or they don't want people anymore, or they have to make changes within their structure, and because of that, it affects people. And so people will change jobs. Or maybe you hate your job, and you're looking for a better job or another job, but changing jobs. These are all things that change, that are changing our lives, and so we have to change these plans around us. But all those plans that are going on in your life, there should be one thing that is stability. And that is to include God into your plans, no matter what the plans you have in your life. To include God in, that's the stable portion here. And we might just be amazed at the plans that he has for us. You may not really know the plans, and he may not reveal the plans that he has for you. He may not want to reveal them at this point. Maybe it's not time to reveal those to you, but we take it one step at a time, and what God puts in front of us, we do. And we should do it with joyful hearts and do it because we know that God is including us in the plans and he wants us to do these things. And these are the plans that he has for us. And we might just be amazed at the plans that we should have for him if we try to include him into our plans each and every day. So again, this is a two-way street here, but it's nice to know. So I'm really open. If people ask me, what do you think you're going to be doing? And I can say, I think maybe I'll be doing this, and I think maybe I'll be doing a little bit of this and that. But the reality is, I don't really know. But God knows what I would like to do, or what I think I might like to do, or I hope I might like to do, and maybe I might like to do it. I'm not even sure if I'd like to do. But the thing is, God knows all this stuff. You see, but I am open, and I want people to understand that. And no matter where you are in life, maybe you're not, maybe you got another 40 years from me today. But what I'm saying is, we need to be open and let God direct your ways, and he will do it, and he'll do a great job. We'll be amazed at the wonderful things that he does. So not only am I sort of answering the question that people have asked me, but I want this to be an opportunity to encourage people to know that it is that two-way street. He has plans for you, and you should have plans for the Lord each and every day. Father, we thank you, Lord, because if we allow you to, you will take control. Not that we will be mindless robot control, but Lord, that you will show us the way, show us the path, make the way easy. When you want to teach us something, maybe make the way a little harder than we think it should be. But we know, Lord, that you know the best for us. And so we say, Lord, here we are. Lead us and guide us. Include us in your plans, Father God, because we know that you have told us time and time again in your word that you want only the best for your children. And so we just thank you and we praise you on this day. And we do this each and every day in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.